Invite you to turn with me this afternoon to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. And we're just going to look at verse 30 through 32 this afternoon. Mark 9, starting in verse 30. Just want to consider this afternoon the resolve of Jesus. The resolve of Jesus. So it tells us, where we read in Mark 9:30, "And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him." Let's pray real quick. Our Heavenly Father, we just ask once again that you will be with us as we open up your holy word. Father, we just pray that you would speak to us through your word. Father, I just pray that you would use the word now to encourage us, to speak to us, Father, what we need. And Father, we just pray that you would give us listening grace as we try to understand these things and apply them to our life. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. One of the wonderful things that we see in the life of Christ, and I didn't want us to miss it, and I think we've already seen it, but I just wanted to highlight it for just a little while this afternoon, is when we look at the life of Christ and the way that he lived, and especially coming down, I think, to the end of his ministry here, as we're looking in the Gospel of Mark, we see a great resolve in our Savior that he is dedicated and he is determined to go to the cross. He is determined to do the will of him that sent him. And we've seen this from the beginning of his ministry. This isn't something that Jesus just starts doing now. He has been absolutely resolved the whole time from his birth. He has been resolved to fulfill what he came to do. And there's just something very encouraging in the life of Christ about his resolve for us. Because I think that as we look at Christ, we see one who is strong. When we look at Christ, we see one who is dedicated. When we look at Christ, we see one who is absolutely determined to do everything that the Father has sent him to do. And then we compare that with our lives. We compare that with ourselves, and we say, man, that is someone that I want to be like. That is someone that I can look up to. Because a lot of times when we think about resolve in our life, not just in our natural life, but in our spiritual walk with the Lord, sometimes we just see a waning in our spiritual walk with the Lord. We see a lack of dedication, a lack of determination. Sometimes we have the desire, but we are not disciplined to do the things that we know we've been called to do. So I think we just have to continually come back to the life of Christ, continually look at him and what how he lived, and just keep our eyes on him. And this can be a great blessing and benefit to us. So what does it mean to have resolve? Well, resolve in the verb form means that you decide firmly on a course of action. So when you have resolve, or you are resolved to do something, it means that you are taking a firm course of action. So if I want to score a basket in basketball, I have to be resolved to score that basket. I'm not just going to get the ball and it's going to somehow get in the hoop, right? That's not how it happens. Or in football, if you want to score a touchdown, you have to be resolved to do what it takes to score the touchdown. Or in business, if you want to get a sale or you want to accomplish a task, you have to put in the time and the effort. You have to do what your responsibilities are in order to be able to accomplish that thing that you're trying to do. You have to have resolve. You have to take some kind of firm action and firm decision in order to be able to accomplish a task. And when you're talking about having resolve, like you say that you want to have resolve in the noun form, it means that you also have a firm determination to do something. So when you say, I am resolved, or I want to have resolve, you want to have that firm determination, just like Christ, who was determined to do the will of His Father. You are determined to do what you have been called to do as well. To find an answer or solution to something. Right? You want to know how to solve this problem. If you want to know how to solve it, then you've got to have resolve. You've got to take some kind of firm determination to do something in order to find an answer or solution to that answer. To make a definite and serious decision to do something. To make a definite and serious decision to do something. You know, for me, when I was in school, one of my weaker subjects was math. And specifically algebra. And it wasn't something that came easy to me. It wasn't something that I liked. And I'm sure many of you can maybe sympathize with me in thinking, why are we having to figure out what X and Y is? How is that going to apply to my life? But there's something that I realized that I wanted to graduate high school. And not only that, I wanted to have good grades. And I really was resolved when it came down later on in my junior and senior year. I really wanted to get better at math, and I wanted to get an A in the class. And that took a whole lot of resolve for me to be able to do that, because it did not come easy. It was not something that was just going to be handed to me or given to me. So I had to study. I had to ask questions. I had to be dedicated to do the homework. I had to spend time with the teacher. I had to do all those things in order to just be able to get that thing that I was wanting to do. And so it takes that definite and serious decision to do something when you are talking about resolve. So, you know, what are some of the things in your life that you are resolved to do? What are some of the things that we look at our own life and we say, you know, I'm resolved to do this? And it could be different things at different times in your life. Some of us, like I said, we have to have resolve in order to graduate high school, or we want to get married, so we have resolve that we're going to do the things that we hope will lead us to that ultimate end. Or maybe it's that we want to have children, or maybe it's we want a certain job, we want to work at a certain place. Or maybe it's that we want to teach at a certain school, or we want to teach a certain age group. Or, you know, maybe it's that we want to be able to play an instrument. We've always wanted to play an instrument. Well, in any of those decisions, you know, you have to have a firm decision. You have to make a firm decision, and you have to be dedicated to that end in order for it to come about. It takes hard work and effort. So we look at things in our life like that, and we see how we have had resolve in many areas in our life. We've had to have resolve. We've had to make a definite and serious decision in these areas. And we've seen that there's been great blessings and benefits for that. When we have had resolve and when we have made those firm decisions, we have seen the blessing and benefit with God's help and by God's grace that He's allowed us to accomplish those things. Sometimes they don't turn out exactly like we hoped or that we wanted. But we still know that we had to be resolved in order for it to be able to come to pass. So then I ask the question, well, why did Jesus have to be resolved? Jesus, here He is, He's the Son of God. He's come, He's been born into the world. He is sinless, He is perfect, He is the Son of God, the one and only begotten Son. Why did Jesus, and why do we look at Him, and why do we see such great resolve? Shouldn't everything have just come easy to Him? He's the Son of God, right? Son of God, but we must understand that He was what? The Son of Man. He was the Son of Man. He also took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, but yet without sin. He humbled Himself and became obedient. So Jesus Christ, in His humanity, even though in His divinity He was perfect and had all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Him bodily, but yet He was verily man at the same time. And so he had the limitations of humanity, of his flesh, right? He became weak. He became hungry. He dealt with grief. He dealt with pressure. And we see it especially when we come down to the end of his ministry. And here it is. From this time on in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus Christ is going to the cross. He's going to Jerusalem. Everything else is put aside, and we see this firm determination that I'm getting to Jerusalem, and I'm going to spend that week there, and I'm going to the cross, and I'm going to give my life as a sacrifice for many. So Jesus shows us, even as born-again believers who are filled with the Spirit, right? When we're born again and we're filled with the Spirit of God, it's not as though everything becomes easy in our walk with the Lord. No, we still wrestle with flesh and blood, right? We still wrestle against the devil and against principalities and powers and those spiritual wickedness, those in high places who are spiritually wicked. And we still have to fight this old man. And so it does take resolve, just like Jesus had to have resolve to go to the cross. We too, in our Christian walk, even being filled with the Spirit of God, we have to still make firm determinations that we're going to do the will of the Father, that we're going to sacrifice, and we're going to be dedicated. So we look to Christ as our example. So how can Jesus' resolve be an encouragement to you and to me? Well, it can be an encouragement because we see in Him perfection. Perfection. One who is perfectly resolved, determined to do the will of His Father. And we can look at Him and say, you know what, I can't be that. I am not that. But He was that for me. So that even though I should strive to be like Him and to be more resolved in my life to do the will of God, I know that from time to time, I am going to lose that resolve. And I'm going to fail. But we always come back to Christ and say, He did not fail. He did not fail. And we need to be more like Him. So His resolve, His perfect resolve, can be an encouragement to us who are less than perfect. And so we just see it here in our text today. And we've seen it already. Jesus had already begun. Remember, Mark 8:32. Remember, we just go back there. And we see that how Jesus, He begins. Mark 8:31, it says, "And He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and be killed and after 3 days rise again." Jesus showed before the disciples His commitment, His resolution to go to the cross. He says He just began to teach them and He continues to teach them over and over and over again. He continues to have to remind them, "I'm going to the cross. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be persecuted. I'm going to be killed. But on the third day, I will rise again." Remember, every time that He talks about being killed, He always says He will rise again. Because just as His commitment was so strong in order to go to the cross, just as His commitment was so strong to go to the cross, so was His resolve so strong to be raised from the dead too. It was just the same. And so great resolve in both cases. And so we see that Jesus began to teach them this. Peter did not want to accept it. And so Jesus had to teach them what it means to be His follower. It means that we are going to have to be resolved to take up our cross, to deny ourselves and to follow Him. And we're going to have to be willing to lose our old life and take up our new life to follow Him. We've got to have that resolve in our life. And so what we see here in our context is we see Him beginning to tell them about that, but then we see Him taking Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and going up into the mount and being transfigured before them. And then we see that they came down from the mountain and Jesus healed this young boy who was possessed of a demon. And so maybe in all of this, in the transfiguration and in this great miracle that Jesus performed again, maybe the disciples began to be caught up again in the majesty, in the glory of Jesus, in his person and who he was. And maybe maybe what he had began to teach them, maybe it started to wane. And so what we see in the resolve of Christ is that right after those two things, it says basically that he puts everything else aside and he just reminds them once again, this is what I'm doing. I am going to the cross. It says, and they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. All right, Jesus shows his commitment to going to the cross and teaching his disciples about what's about to happen by saying, I really don't want people to know that I'm in the city. I don't want to be performing any miracles. I don't want to be feeding any large groups of people. I want the disciples to understand and I want them to see that I am going to the cross and I am resolved to go there no matter what. And so he says, don't want anyone to know it. I just want to spend this time with you, because it says for this was the reason why he didn't want anybody to know it, where he was. For he taught his disciples and said unto them. That word he taught is in the present active. It's in the present active. So it's something that he is doing actively and he is continuing to do it. So he is continually spending this time with the disciples and he's saying, the Son of Man is delivered. It's like it's his resolve is so great. He's speaking in a tense that's saying that he's already been delivered, right? The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. So Jesus is saying this will happen. There is nothing that can stop it. There is nothing that will stop it. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men. So, just to leave you with a couple things today, three things about the resolve of Jesus and how this can encourage us in our resolve in our walk with the Lord. Number one, we cannot let anything distract us from our purpose. That's what I see in Jesus Christ, is he doesn't let anything distract him from what he came to do. So many things could have distracted him, right? The fame, the popularity, the performing of miracles, and how he could have just kept on doing that over and over and over again. And think about how many people Jesus could have healed. Think about how many people Jesus could have fed if that's just what he got distracted with, right? He could have just kept doing that and spent his whole life doing that. But that wouldn't have saved his people from their sins, right? Jesus came to save us from our sins. And so he says, none of those things are going to distract me from my purpose. Well, as we look at that, we ask ourselves, what is distracting me from my purpose? What has God called you to do? What has he called me to do? Has he called us to be a godly parent? Has he called us to be a faithful spouse? Has he called us to be a faithful employee at our business? Has he called us to just be a faithful brother or sister in the church, a laborer in the kingdom of God? Well, what distracts us from doing that? We're reading a book now for our part of our youth fellowship, and it's Brady's mentioned it, but it's 12 ways your phone is changing. And he started off in the very first chapter, and he says that one of the things about our phones or technology in general is that they cause distractions. And it says about us that we are easily distracted. And I can just admit that I'm easily distracted. Easily distracted by technology, easily distracted by news, easily distracted by politics, easily distracted by sports. I mean, there are so many things that I am easily distracted by that aren't necessarily evil things in and of themselves. But if they keep me, if they distract me from what God has called me to be and faithfully to be, then I need to have more resolve for those things to have less and less of distraction in my life. So as you look at Christ and you see that He doesn't let anything distract Him, then ask Him. Pray and ask Him to help you to have that kind of resolve, that you're not going to let things of this world distract you from what your purpose is and what God has called you to do. Now, I know that that's easier said than done. I know that that's hard, but we must continually be asking that. Secondly, we must constantly remind ourselves of our purpose. We must constantly remind ourselves of our purpose. And I think this is one of the things that Jesus was doing for the disciples, constantly reminding them of His purpose, right? I'm not here to be this national Messiah. I'm not here to be this national king that's going to provide deliverance from Roman oppression. I am here to go to the cross. I am here to die for sinners in their place. I am here to fulfill the law perfectly for those who can't. I am here to do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. We see that from the very beginning of Jesus when He was a youth. And it tells us that one time when they brought Jesus to Jerusalem and then they left, it says that Jesus stayed behind and He went into the temple and He began to talk with the scribes, right, the lawyers, the doctors, and He reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. And when the parents came back and said, "Well, why didn't you stay with us? And why are you in here doing this?" What did He say? He said, "Don't you know that I need to be about my Father's business?" So from an early age, He was resolved to be about His Father's business and what He had called Him to do. And He was constantly reminding others and reminding Himself, "What is my purpose? Why am I here?" And that needed to be something that the disciples needed to learn, because Jesus was going to the cross. He was going to be killed. He was going to rise again. And He was going to ascend up into heaven. And He was going to leave them here. He was going to leave them here. And they needed to understand what their purpose was going to be when Jesus left. And He gave them a purpose, didn't He? He said, "I want you to go out unto all the world." Right? In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I want you to preach the gospel unto every creature. And I want you to teach them. And I want you to remind them of everything that I have taught you. He gave them a purpose. And then He taught them, you need to have a resolve in this purpose that I have given you, because you're going to be attacked by unbelievers. You're going to be attacked by even your own countrymen. You're going to be attacked by the world that hates me, and it's going to hate you. And so you need to have this resolve so that you can stay faithful, you can stay true, even when persecution comes. And what I love about reading the book of Acts is we see that they got it. They were resolved. You see such great resolve in the early church. How that, just as an example real quick, I think it's Acts 5 that tells us about how that the disciples were preaching the name of Jesus Christ in the synagogues. And there were just those unbelievers, unbelieving Jews especially, who just hated that message. And so they have them arrested. They have them put in prison. It says that they even beat them. And what they do is they bring them back before the council and they say, "We're going to let you go, but we don't want you to preach anymore about this Jesus Christ. You can go and you can do good deeds and you can be good citizens and you can love each other, but stop preaching about Jesus Christ. Stop preaching that He is raised from the dead." And what does it tell us that they said? "We are resolved to do this," right? He says "We're going to obey God rather than men." They had it. They had the resolve. And it says that they went from there and they went And they sang praises, and they praised God that they were worthy to be counted to suffer for Him. Man, I need that in my life. I need that in my life, that I will be willing. I'll understand what my purpose is. Constantly remind myself of what my purpose is. And that I'll be resolved to that end. You know, there's many things that we struggle with in the flesh. There's many things that Satan tempts us with. We don't all struggle with the same things. There are some things that I struggle with that you don't struggle with, and there are some things you struggle with that I don't struggle with. But what we all need to do, brothers and sisters, is we all need to remind ourselves daily, why am I here? And what is my purpose? Because all Satan is trying to do is he's trying to draw you away, and he's trying to distract you from what your purpose is. What your purpose is. Why has God placed you here? And not only that, but what is your value in? Where is your value at? Because sometimes when we're struggling with doubt or we're struggling with depression, it oftentimes can be because we are looking at our self-value. And we are disappointed with our self-value. And so we need to get back to, well, what is God's purpose for me? And what value has He placed on my life by calling me out to be His own? Putting me in His kingdom for me to serve His people in His church. So, whatever you're struggling with, remind yourself of your purpose and ask for resolve that you might be like Christ, that you will be resolved to what your purpose is. And then lastly, sometimes other people can't see what our purpose is. But we need to have resolve whether they can see it or not. You know, Christ just simply told the disciples, time and time again, I'm going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to the cross. And it tells us, occasion after occasion, that they did not understand. Right? What does it say here? But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask Him. But did the fact that the disciples didn't understand and didn't comprehend or didn't even receive what Jesus was saying, did it stop Him? Not one bit. Not one bit. I love it. I love it. He's gentle, He's kind, He's patient. Right? He just goes on to the next thing and then He comes back to it after a little while. We'll go on. You know, right after this, they take a walk to Capernaum, and the disciples start talking about who's going to be the greatest after Jesus leaves. That's how much they don't get it, right? They begin to look at themselves, and they begin to question who is the greatest. And that Jesus just has to come back after this again, and he, after teaching them about what it means to be great. He tells them again, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to the cross. Just so we don't miss it. Luke 9. So this was Luke's account of the same verse that we're looking at in Mark. It says, and they were all amazed at the mighty power of God after seeing what Jesus Christ did in casting out the demon. But while they wondered, everyone, at all these things which Jesus did, He said unto His disciples, let these sayings sink down into your ears. Wow. Listen to what I'm saying and let them sink down. Let them go beyond your ears and let them go into your mind, into your heart. So you'll understand, not just hear with the ear, but understand in the heart what I'm saying. Let this sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, listen to this, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then I want us to skip down to end. In Luke's account here, he has this where Jesus tells them again about his death, and then he talks about who is the greatest, and then talks about anyone not against us is for us. But look what it says in verse 51. It says, and it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. I love that. I mean, that is the resolve of Christ. The word steadfastly set is to be resolutely set. It means to be resolved. He was resolutely set, and it speaks of in Isaiah. I think I wrote this down. Isaiah, I believe it's 50. Said he set his face like flint. What does that mean? Like a rock. He set his face like a rock. In other words, he would not let it be turned aside to be distracted. He set his face like flint to Jerusalem. He was determined to go to the cross. He was determined to suffer. And all that was for me and for you. And so as we look at the life of Christ and the ministry of Christ and we see his resolve, it should encourage us to be resolved in our spiritual walk with the Lord, that we too would be like him. We would not let anything distract us from our purpose, that we would be constantly reminding ourselves of what our purpose is, and that even if other people can't see it or don't acknowledge it, that we would still be faithful as Christ was faithful to the end.